seal. The seal. So therefore, everybody understood exactly about that mark, that seal that was being placed upon them. And of course, after this, they would pay a deposit on the logs once they put that seal upon it. When the logs were delivered or picked up, they would then pay the rest of the money. So everybody understood what it was to have a deposit put down and a seal made, especially in Ephesus and Corinth. And just like the logs as an illustration, the seal had that special significance. The Holy Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. When someone believes, they are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. We also understand that if Jesus hadn't left, if Jesus had remained, the Holy Spirit would not have come. Well, Jesus was here. It was certainly wonderful for those who met him, seen him, heard him, and touched him. But the drawback was that he could only be in one place at a time. But God had a plan. When Jesus left, he sent the Holy Spirit just as he promised. So that now, instead of Jesus being only in the one place, we have the Holy Spirit who is in every Christian all the time, every moment of every day. Now, he might not always be active. A lot of that has to do with us. But he's there. He dwells within us. So you see, this seal that God has placed upon us guarantees that we're genuine. That we're genuine, the real thing. It shows ownership, who we belong to, and also that we're approved. This seal isn't visible to you and I. We cannot put our finger on it and say, here it is. The seal itself is invisible to us in the physical realm. But the evidence of it, according to Galatians 5:22, when it speaks of the fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All the things I see in all of you all the time. You see, if a person has some or all of these, it's a good indication of the Holy Spirit at work. It's evidence of the Holy Spirit being in them. So let me ask, I ask myself, I ask you, how much of the evidence is seen in us? And I suppose that's the challenge for us. How much of the evidence is seen in us? And just in the way that you cannot see the wind, but you can see what the wind does. I done it in my garden the other day. We've got this one of these garden swings, and it's in a cover, you know, in a canopy, and it nearly smashed into the greenhouse during the wind the other night, you know. So you see what the wind does, but you don't see it. And it's the same with the Holy Spirit at work in us. The Holy Spirit will provide us with new bodies and an inheritance when we finally get to heaven. But we have a seal in the Holy Spirit right now. Right now. Which promises and guarantees that this inheritance is ours and it's waiting for us. So just like a deposit, God has made a purchase. And just to prove that he's going to follow through on his purchase, he's made it as a down payment. He has promised that what he has begun, he will finish. So I suppose the deposit is a little bit of heaven here on earth. As great as the gift of the Holy Spirit is, he is only a deposit. He's only a taster. A foretaste, a small glimpse of the beauty, the glory, the greatness, and the majesty that waits for us in eternity. What we have to look forward to. I read a story about a woman who went to a Christian counsellor because her marriage was about to dissolve. And she kept saying, you know, we have so much. She kept repeating this over and over to the counsellor. She said, look at this. I don't have one. Look at this diamond ring on my finger. It's worth thousands. We have an expensive mansion in an exclusive area, a holiday home abroad. We have 3 brand new cars. Why? We have everything that money can buy. We have so much. Why has our marriage fallen apart? To which the counselor replied, "You know what? It's good to have the things that money can buy, provided you don't lose the things that money cannot buy. What good is an expensive house if it's not a home? Or an expensive ring if there is no love that goes with it?" You see, when Christians live like this, we can look around at the wealth and privilege that we have and say, we have so much. But in our most honest moments, we think to ourselves, but where is the love? Why do we have so much but still lack love? Why do families get divided? Why do churches split up? Often the reason is because we haven't learned to live in the light of the security that we have from the Father, the salvation that we have from the Son, and the seal that we have on our hearts by the work of the Holy Spirit. So just like the woman whose marriage was on the rocks, we can have so much, but what good is everything like that if we're not aware of what really matters? So just like all possessions, it's not enough just to have them. They actually need to be used. And just like the fruit of the Spirit, it needs to be seen. It needs to be used. In 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 3, it says, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." The love of Christ is the key in all that we do, in all that we say, and in how we live. So what do we do with this knowledge of the deposit that God has paid so much for each of us to have? What we've been given has a purpose for today. We believers have been brought in and obtained the inheritance that God has given us. And it's all to the praise of His glory, which ties in well with what Janice shared about Hanukkah at the beginning. We don't want the praise and the glory to be lost for God. And it's up to us to continue to uphold God, to lift His praises, to let Him be honoured wherever we find ourselves. When we glorify ourselves, we're stealing glory away from God. If you look at why Moses was prevented from entering the promised land, it's because he struck the rock, rather than speaking to it as God had commanded. Now you might look at that and think, you know, that was a bit harsh. But when you read God's word to Moses, he said, "Because you did not trust in me enough to honour me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring the community into the land I give them." He did not give the glory to God. And I think that's a risk that all of us run. There are times where we take credit for things when it's God that's at work in us. We need to give God the praise and the glory. So that's the calling on us, to display God's holiness and allow His grace to be seen in our lives. We're all part of His glorious inheritance. The deposit is secured. It's secured. And what lies ahead for each of us is much more than we could ever imagine. So for now, let's give God the glory. Let's praise Him. Let that be an aim in your week coming, that you would give God the praise and the glory, and that we lift His name high. Amen. I'm going to invite the praise team to come up and lead us in a closing worship.